This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Winners always want the ball when the game's on the line.
That's the Gene Hackman cut we use?
Ah, here we go. Listen, just be happy that we have a Gene Hackman cut.
The greatest actor of my life, and it's a quote from a football movie?
It's from...
Dan, you're allowed to be in charge of your own show. You know?
No. Are you new here?
I can tell you right now. He's
of your
not
life is
in
doing
charge.
A lot of work on that, Dan.
No, he's of his life. It's his personal preference.
I think he might be.
He's
it.
Number one.
He might be.
I support that. I support his belonging up towards the tippity top. An absolute god of the acting field.
He might.
He's definitely
be
on his Mount Rushmore.
I think if I had to pick one line, it would probably be, "Wait, I was going to make espresso from Young Frankenstein."
Ah, okay. See, I think French Connection and Unforgiven and Royal Tenenbaums.
And Superman.
And The Conversation. Oh, my God. And so many.
Miss Tessmacher!
But not The Replacements?
That's
no,
not I
don't. The first thing that comes to your mind?
Not for me either, no.
No, Superman was my introduction to him. The movie I enjoyed probably the most was Enemy of the State. Best performance I enjoyed was Mississippi Burning.
See, for me, it's when he grabs Michael Rooker by the scrotum in Mississippi Burning.
It's a great scene.
Listen here, kicker. Like, that's just the best.
And he was really good at being, like, kind of, if not likable, at least relatable when he was evil. What's it, The Firm with Tom Cruise?
Well, that's what I was saying. His evil
so
characters.
Good in that.
His evil characters always have a little bit of humanity.
Yeah,
but
Doyle was an a-hole.
Sure, and his nice characters always sometimes have a little bit of menace to them,
like in The Replacements.
Like in Hoosiers.
Did you read this?
I got you, studs.
At the end of his life, when not on film locations, Gene Hackman enjoyed painting, stunt flying, stock car racing, and deep sea diving. In later years, he wrote novels, lived on his ranch in New Mexico, on a hilltop looking out on the Colorado Rockies, a view he preferred to his films when they popped up on television.
Especially when Chris Bryant got there.
Yeah, there you go. Here's the quote from Gene Hackman. I'll watch maybe 5 minutes of it when one of his movies comes on, and then I'll get this icky feeling, and I turn the channel. It's like that's how he felt about his entire freaking life's work.
That's how we get that.
Yeah. I kind of get that. Again, it's like dude was doing some flying and some painting.
He was doing other.
I hope he was doing as long as it's better flying than Harrison Ford was doing. Is that's still one of my favorite ironies that Han Solo is a terrible pilot.
So obviously he's part of the
never count to the odds.
A Captain America movie, right? There's a couple of nice little cookies for everyone. One, because he's the Red Hulk.
That's a major spoiler.
Thank you. Major spoiler alert. Well, that's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer.
I guess you're right.
So But one of the things that he's been exposed to gamma radiation, and in the movie, he's like, yes, I got to look at that sample. And I was like, there's one. And then the other one, it makes sense, but it's also just a great Easter egg. For a huge chunk of the movie, he is on Air Force One. And he is wearing a jacket that says Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
I was like, this is, I was the only person, in the theater just like, this is great, man.
I got you. What did you think of that movie, though?
I thought it was solid. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's solid. It kind of takes you back to before Marvel became galactic.
Okay. Yeah, it was more in the tone of a Winter Soldier, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Is there a multiverse aspect to it?
Okay.
At the very end.
My big pet peeve with a lot of this
no more spoiler alert things? All right, well
no, please don't, because I haven't seen it.
I just hate the multiverse changes the stakes.
Okay, then I would say to you, get up as soon as the movie ends.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can escape it without
before the scene comes.
But the thing is that I honestly don't think that scene to me looked like it was a late ad. It looks like they were going in a different direction and then changed it. But Tim Blake Nelson is in it, and he's great because he's always great.
Is he funny?
He can't. He can't help but be funny.
But also, I thought
his character's not very funny.
But there's always something to him where the moment I see him, I want to start laughing.
He knows it.
Yeah. Lawrence, right? Yeah. Tell me if this is true. The scene that you just referred to, didn't it seem kind of copycat-ish from another comic book?
Yes.
And that's
I didn't like it. I also didn't like what they clearly tried. I thought there was the stuff that they did. There was a major callback to the series.
Right.
And I thought that was great. Like, that part was great.
Yes.
And you talk about, like, Winter Soldier. There's a lot of, like, Winter Soldier in that callback.
Yes.
Which I thought was fantastic. They're trying clearly to remake the Avengers, and they're clearly trying to make some of the original characters, like the new version of the original characters. And one of them, I was like, I'm not buying
it.
Yeah,
I'm not
at all.
I'm not in on this. I think we're seeing eye to eye. I will say this: the movie would have been a lot better if they didn't promote it the way they did. Red Hulk does not need to meet in anything. They could have had.
They gave that spoiler away, and they didn't have
you
to.
I feel like you guys are giving like 20 to 30 spoilers away.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. No, because it's already out there. So
it's been out for 2 weeks.
Giancarlo Esposito also.
I guess it for me, like, trailers are spoilers. I hate trailers these days.
Trailers
give so much away. I skip them.
Sometimes reviews are spoilers, too.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, my favorite trailer ever is probably the one for Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War. Wow. Because here's why. Because in the trailer, they've got the Hulk running mad through the scene like with everybody else. If you've seen Infinity War, the Hulk has one scene and it's no more Hulk. It's literally a false flag.
I don't have a favorite trailer because I refuse to watch them because they tell me too damn much.
Sometimes, look at it this way. Especially if you see a trailer in the theater, it can obviate the seeing of the movie.
Yeah, you're done.
Yes.
Yeah, you give a thumb up or you thumb down
move
on.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah. I felt like with that particular thing, like there are people that don't understand that they're different color Hulks for different reasons. So maybe if you see it, you're still like, well, wait, why did that happen? I at least want to find out why
is an explanation.
But it's beyond trailer. They're doing, are they partnered with Tide or something? There's a whole commercial.
Oh, there's a commercial with him.
Mm-hmm. Where the people are like, there's a Red Hulk now? And, you know, Red Hulk is smashing up.
I thought he was green or something. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So even that, like, you're jumping the shark on your own thing before. But I thought Anthony Mackie was great.
Yes.
In the movie.
He gets a lot of hate.
I do think that Giancarlo Esposito wasn't used enough.
He was awesome.
How come we got no pictures of brothers up here on the wall? That's an old school
Italian Americans only.
How come we got no brothers up on the wall?
He got a shout out from someone for that for that performance. Like someone won something recently and spent their time talking. Oh, it was
so great in that.
Anjanue Ellis. I think she won a SAG, and she was talking about like how that movie and his performance meant so much to her.
Okay.
And then she's like, also, you're beautiful. Like, she said this like while accepting the award.
That's outstanding.
And he was just smiling like, yeah, yeah. You know, that's right.
Yeah, movies don't get me excited as excited as they used to. I think the whole COVID, watching everything from home, the theater experience is diminished. The prices are way up to go to the theater, and I'm just...
It's a lot.
And behavior in theaters has never been more difficult.
Goodness. Yeah. You're not wrong about that. These kids ain't got no home training at all.
Man. I'm all right with that, though.
No, you would be all right with the stuff that I've endured.
Seeing it in a group can be very fun.
Me and Afia went to go see a movie, and this was like maybe towards the tail end of COVID.
Okay.
And we were over at Block 37. It's probably, I think it was, I remember, I,
what, oh,
remember
upstairs at Block 37?
What movie I was like, Dan, I'm leaving during transition because I got to go. I think it was It was one of the Marvel movies. I was like, Dan, I'm leaving and I'm going to run over
during
to Block
pandemic?
37.
It wasn't one of the Doctor Strange movies, was it?
It may have been. It may have been. Well, yeah. Anyway, Afia and I are in the theater and there are kids and it's a matinee. You know, it's.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to matinees anymore unless it's the early, early morning, 9 a.m. style.
And you see kids, they're out there, you know, they need a place to be privately and they're out there doing their. I'm as long as it's not to the point where it's disturbing me.
Oh no! I'm talking about kids who are not even watching the movie. They're just yelling and screaming at each other.
Oh no! I don't mess with that.
Oh, you were talking about people doing the popcorn trick.
Yes, I'm talking about.
I got you. But
I didn't at first.
Yeah, when I went and saw
it doesn't bother me.
The Miles Morales movie, the second one. I was like, oh, I didn't realize these kids were going to be here, and I wasn't going to be able to hear what was going on in the theater.
That's a movie that you definitely want to.
And so I was like, if you would come back at night. We got our money back and everything. Like, we don't allow kids unsupervised in here after like 6 p.m. or whatever.
Bert, I wondered if you guys had seen this story. Did you do High Noon today?
Yes.
Did this story make it what happened on the flight to Australia?
No, we were all Hackman for
High Noon. Oh, you're full on Hackman?
Yeah.
This the 14-hour flight, a couple from Australia on their way.
The dead person.
Oh, yes, yes. A woman died on the flight. And they had to figure out where to put her body. And this is apparently totally legal, and it is the protocol. They went up, and they're like, oh, there's two empty seats here. Excuse me, we're going to put this dead body next to you in your row.
It's like the end of Midnight Cowboy.
They tried to move the body to business class in a wheelchair, but the wheelchair, shocker, was too large to be moved through the aisle. So then the flight attendants literally picked up the dead body and found a row with two empty seats and said, we're going to go ahead and put this here. And
you know, as seatmates go, you're not going to have an armrest hog.
They're not going to talk to you.
They're not going to get up to go to the bathroom.
Right. Too early for a smell to set
in. You're probably okay.
But the couple,
how many hours was it? Wasn't it like 4 hours?
It was it was about 4 to 5 hours left on the flight. And the wife, the couple, they were coming back from Venice, from like a romantic trip to Venice.
Oh, that romance is dead. No pun intended.
This woman talked to the New York Times, and through tears, the wife said, I'm not a great flyer at the best of times.
Oh, no.
And she was crying.
You'd have to knock me out. I need to take a sleeping pill.
That's what I lost.
Oh, this is just what I needed.
You know, I don't love flying to begin with, but when there's a dead body next to me, and they asked them to stay seated as they landed and the paramedics came and took the blankets away and then picked up the body, which has been rigor mortis by then.
Those folks get something, right? The airline gives them something.
They don't have to anymore.
They don't have to.
They probably did before they slashed all the rules.
And they've got the protocol of what I had never known that. What are they supposed to do? They don't land the plane.
Yeah.
They're like, well, nothing we can do now.
It was just because
then you end up ruining 300 people's.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't have like an extra room or an extra row that they leave open just in case somebody dies.
Blow it out of the toilet or something?
No, that
would be disrespectful.
Go to the bathroom.
Okay.
The protocol of it. Supposed to alert the captain, move the deceased to a seat with as few passengers around a as possible and close the eyes. That's one of the things.
Put a little hat on it and some sunglasses.
Right. And then draw a mustache with a Sharpie.
Then take him to the pool.
We get a Bernie style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And this also says make him manager of the Chicago White Sox.
We were at a gate waiting to go at our Canadian fishing trip. And we were at the gate, and there was an older woman there. And I was looking over, and I looked back, and I said to my dad, I'm like, Dad, does that woman look a little green to you?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Like it's like an unhealthy green, and he's not Javonte Green, unhealthy green.
No, five of those. Right,
and he said, yeah, she does. And then I look over again. I'm like, I think she just died.
Oh no!
And a couple people, like there were these soldiers who came over and started doing CPR, and then they're like, yeah, no. And it's like, is she with anybody? Oh. That they finally tracked down whoever. Oh. And she had just expired.
That's terrible.
Right, guys, there. So I've seen it.
I'm dying to give you this update.
I see what you did there.
From the Cubs.
Okay.
Somebody went deep in the Cubs game. You may remember him.
Sammy Sosa.
Nick
Tim
Madrigal.
Tim Anderson has given the Angels a 1-0 lead over the Cubs.
Off of Jordan Wicks.
He's
I'm
back.
Told.
Is that
baby.
Who was...
Yeah,
pitching? Okay.
Good for TA, man.
Maybe
we'll see.
There's certain dudes that I mean, I don't know. I'm rooting for TA.
I am too.
I am too.
I'm rooting. You know who's healthy and looking forward to being a dude on the Red Sox pitching staff is Lucas Giolito. That's an interesting pitching staff with Walker Buehler and
a lot of reclamations there.
Yeah, and Giolito and who's the other? Like it's an interesting pitching staff. I'm rooting for them.
Well, I say this. With Tim Anderson, I know he's had a rough few years. And it's just sad that
Crochet. I'm sorry, Lawrence. Marshall. Crochet and Tanner Houck and Buehler and Giolito is an interesting rotation to me.
I just, the sad part is the last great moment I remember from Tim Anderson is when I was at the Field of Dreams game in Iowa.
It's a great moment for him.
And then
the moment started getting bad.
Buck said he ought to be the face of baseball.
Real bad really quickly.
Yeah, the one that I'm going to remember is him getting knocked out cold, getting up, and then not realizing who just knocked him out and searching for the person.
It's like, the stumble when he gets up. Yeah, it's the stumble when he gets up. Yep. That was unfortunate. Mm. That was really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, it's also him then being like, oh, wait, I got knocked out? Yeah. Well, I got to go finish this fight. No, Tim. The fight has been finished.
Yeah, you were knocked out. He was declared over.
Yeah, no, I brought up the moment yesterday when he was announced as an all-star in the locker room and nobody cared in the clubhouse.
It's so sad.
Nobody like even cheered. Nobody got up and walked over to him. It was just, hey, Tim made the all-star team. It was like, okay.
Yay.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, that's good. All
right, cool. Is that an indictment on his standing with his teammates?
No, I don't think so.
It was an indictment on that whole room.
That's what I tend to think that room sucked. Yes.
And Tony made it worse. But it sucked.
Tony didn't even do the announcement.
No, it was Joe McEwing. Yes.
No, I'm saying Tony made the room worse in general.
No, but I'm saying, Speaks, like the manager didn't even make the announcement.
Absolutely. But that whole room, like everybody had been sitting around for a couple years waiting for
Tony to leave?
No.
Godot.
No.
Exhale?
The first baseman.
Paul Konerko?
No, the other one.
Frank Thomas.
Andrew Vaughn?
Lamar Johnson.
No, another first baseman. Cuban one. Is it funny when names just disappear from your head?
Abreu?
Jose Abreu.
Okay.
Ever been waiting for a couple years for Jose Abreu to step up and be the leader of the room, and he wasn't?
Yeah.
He wasn't. He just wasn't that guy at all. So, like, the room had absolutely no leadership whatsoever because all the young guys got paid and were all kind of bags. The whole thing didn't work. And then, like, the manager was sort of holding it together because he was a super nice guy and they all loved him. They got rid of him and brought in the Weekend at Bernie's guy, and the whole thing fell apart. Right? Is that a pretty fair assessment of what had gone on over there?
Actually, if they sit Tony La Russa next to you on a plane, the airlines also owe you money.
Close the eyes.
And then they hire Pedro Grifol, and it was Weekend at Bernie's too for the whole team.
Has anyone given props? I mean, I know that it's not Sully, but that Southwest pilot that had the wherewithal to be like, we're leaving. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's definitely better than the alternative of pretty cool because it was going to be pretty disastrous.
Like, that's some quick thinking. To be like, well, this landing is now over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't.
This landing is over.
And away he goes. And what did they say? They did a workaround. There's some sort of term for go around. Thank you.
Have you guys seen Pushing 10? Because Dan hadn't.
Pushing 10. So remind me.
That's with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes.
And John Cusack as the air traffic controllers. And that was like my first foray into these guys do. And it was like, oh.
The stress level
this
is of that
real.
Job.
This is real. And so now, you know, they're trying to hire more. Apparently, some quit or something. I don't know. But
they
need air traffic controllers. They either quit or they fired. I don't know.
They're just late to work.
Depends on who you ask.
They're just taking a little time off.
They may not have responded to an email. I don't know.
I don't know. Some of us, we picture air traffic controllers. Just picture bad news. The fog is getting thicker.
And Leon's getting larger.
Right. Those guys.
Pick the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Or it's Senator Fred Thompson in Die Hard 2. Stack 'em, pack 'em, and rack 'em, boys. That whole thing.
John Amos, right?
He's the bad guy.
John Amos was the right guy.
Spoiler alert, Dan.
And then
wish you guys had joined us back. Wish you had been on that mission with us.
How about the opening scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind when all the air traffic controllers are wondering why there's a certain blip there that's tracking impossibly and then disappears?
Oh yeah,
remember
that?
Mm-hmm. It's super serious.
Yeah.
Showed that one to the Roopster on the list of space movies as we cycle through all the great space movies.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
How do you decide between like fun versus serious? Like, for example, like Contact to me is...
I adore Contact.
Contact's a great movie.
Of course you do, because you probably like the Matthew McConaughey character.
I like the balance, Dan. I like the balance.
That's a fair thing to say. Science and then the heart.
It's faith and reason. Yeah. It's going with your gut or the analytics, Dan. But it's absolutely, it's the essence of humanity.
Don't you find him smarmy?
Well, the eye test, the hours of status.
Sure, but it was written smarmy. He's merely executing the smarm. I see past the smarm for the soul.
The Martian is my favorite movie ever.
Oh, we loved The Martian. Absolutely loved
it.
He loved it. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Such an engaging film.
Tell you which other one he loved. We loved Interstellar.
2001.
We haven't gotten to 2001.
Alien.
Interstellar. Yeah, he's a little afraid of aliens.
Alien versus Predator.
As he should be.
Aliens, freaking horrifying.
It's terrible. It's a horrible
Arrival.
Movie.
Arrival.
Ooh, Arrival's good.
It is a beautiful, beautiful
Wait, which
movie.
One's Arrival?
Arrival is Amy Adams. It's directed by...
Oh, when they go into the thing. Okay, how about language.
It's about language. It's about how to eventually understand the aliens. And it's directed by Denis Villeneuve, who's did both the Dune movies. It's a beautifully directed movie.
Arrival.
Show him Outland. Sean Connery and Peter Boyle. It's the remake of High Noon at the mining colony.
I thought High Noon was a remake of the other segment.
Right, of Secondhand News.
Secondhand News.
What's the movie with Louis Gossett Jr. and the alien?
Enemy Mine.
Yes, that's one of my favorites. Old school. Classic.
Right there.
When I showed Jason Close Encounters
of the
Third Kind.
You got a little young Lou Gossett Jr. in you, now that I see.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Dickstown's one of my favorite movies of all time.
So he was a badass. I loved him as an actor.
We're watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I hadn't registered that he'd already seen Slapshot. So Melinda Dillon is on the screen.
Oh, that's right.
That's Hanrahan's wife.
Hey, Hanrahan.
Right. And then Jason's like, wait a second. Uh-oh. I said, what? He goes, we've seen her naked. Like, yes, we have. Indeed. Nicely done.
How old was he when you allowed her to be
Slapshot,
seen?
I think he was 8.
Good job, Speaks.
Wow. Man,
let's be careful.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Wow.
Why did he?
No, we got a lot of show we got to get to.
What warning did you get from what governmental entity?
We got Ben's Vision coming up at 3 p.m. today.
Okay.
Going to look at centers, including a guest halfway through Ben's Vision. I can't wait for that.
It's a really good guest.
Really cool grab by Shane. Bruce Levine yesterday found himself on both the guest list and Lawrence's grudge list. He's gonna see if he can get crossed off both of them at the same time today.
Uh-oh. Didn't know about the show, huh? Couldn't help us out with Craig Council, huh?
We'll play categories later on.
Got some questions.
I only know one other list you have, and Bruce doesn't want to be on that list either.
I don't think he wants to be on the Grudge one either.
He'd much rather be on the Grudge one. Trust me.
I don't know.
That's a different list.
Oh yeah, I think I know. Chris Emma's gonna join us live from the combine as well.
Tisha Campbell. Let's see, Bruce Levine.
Natasha Rothwell. Well, is now on that list too.
We brought up Kim Fields earlier today because we were trying to. Her little sister too,
Alexis.
I was a big fan.
Kim Fields, yeah. Apparently, we're old though.
You take the
studs
good,
didn't
you
know
take
who Kim Fields was.
Oh, for real? He didn't watch Living Single growing up.
Said it wasn't his era.
He's right.
And I was like, I think it's both age and cultural.
I think it's more age than cultural because Studs is a guy that he's not lost in other people's culture.
I'm not saying lost, but
like
Kim Fields is a very navigate.
No, but I'm saying like he's not someone that
he's
would,
more friends than Living Single.
Tony,
he is, but
Studs,
if you
have you ever
him,
seen an episode of Living Single?
But I think if you said to him, "Hey, Studs, there was this show that Friends totally copied called Living Single," he would go, "Oh, I'll check that out." And then you check it out. It's got Queen Latifah in it. You know, she's the equalizer.
Man.
I also robbed some banks one time.
I'm the only one who went back to Facts of Life for Kim.
No, that's the established.
No, yeah, but.
The world never seems to be living up to your dreams.
Suddenly you're finding out the facts of life are all about you.
I thought I heard them say it might have been Mindy. Who said that everyone has asked for a reboot, and what they want to do as a group is be the Golden Girls.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun.
I like that.
They want to reboot the Golden Girls.
That's a great call.
I like that.
As the Facts of Life cast.
Are they all? So that they're all alive, right?
Yeah. The only
Nancy McKeon.
Lisa Welchel, Nancy McKeon.
Now the problem
Mindy
is
Cohn.
That Lisa Welchel is very conservative. Small C. I don't know if large C.
Yeah.
So because the idea was have her play Blanche, and you're probably not going to be able to do that with her.
That I mean, if body she can act, she can that, act. That ribald.
She's kind of gone into more church theater stuff, and that's all right.
She's now a life coach. Lisa Welch.
Nice life coach. Coach drive.
Okay. Hey, life coach. Hey, what's up? Life coach.
Life coach.
Coach. Life coach.
And that'll do it for transition. By law.
When it's invoked, we do have to go. Uh-huh. We will talk about the Trey Smith story after Tanny's Open next here on The Score.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.